Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Grace Quisera, the team manager of Uganda City Oilers Basketball Club, join me, Mukbil Yabaro, and Action Jackson Vunganyi for our latest Nothing But Net VOA Basketball Africa League podcast. Grace spoke by telephone from Cairo, Egypt, where the City Oilers are competing in Nile Conference games in their maiden BAL appearance. I began the BAL panel discussion by asking Grace, what's been the biggest surprise for your team, whether it's atmosphere, skill level, or some other factor?
Well, I think the first surprise was how well we did in our first game. I thought we did a pretty good job putting things together. The team we played first was a team from Angola, and they are who is projected to win this tournament. I was happy with what we did as a team to stop them for as long as we did. But otherwise, the skill levels are about where we thought they would be, and we're just happy to be here.
Now, Grace, I think for me the biggest story would have been that big comeback that you had against Al Ahly when your team was not down 34 points in the second quarter, in the second half, in the third half, and you're able to come back to almost win this. What were you able to do, or what were your players able to do in that fourth quarter with Al Ahly that can give us an understanding of how your coaching or the team is actually playing, is approaching these games?
So the first half we gave Al Ahly a lot of respect, and they are a professional team. They'll make their shots, and that we dug ourselves a hole. And then in the second half, we had a talk in the locker room, and the boys came out aggressive. Didn't try to do things too much, too many things by single people, but went at it as a team. And we chipped away, managed to score 34 points in the fourth quarter. I think the aggression that we brought into the second half exhausted the Egyptians, and because of that, they had no legs, so scoring was difficult for them. They managed to score 11 to our 34 in the fourth quarter, and that's down to the exhaustion from the defense they had to play.
Yes, Grace, this is Mukbil. For your players, let's say Justice Jr. and Fulani Jones, both American players playing for the City Oilers, they have had really good production for your team. How have the imports helped your team as a collective in this league?
Unfortunately, for Justice tore a tendon in his left finger, and he's left-handed, and it happened in the first play. It happened in the first play of our first game, so he's been carrying that injury. But in spite of that, he's averaging 23, I think.
Wow.
Falando has been with us for longer. Falando is Falando. He averages 20, so no surprise there. And we're hoping that, the rest of the boys can chip in there to make sure we're scoring at least 80. We think if you score 80, you win the game.
Grace, following up on Mukbil's question, I know each team in the BAL is allowed four foreign players from outside where the team is based. Has it been difficult to integrate say these players like Justice and Philando Jones into the squad, or has it been relatively easy?
So Philando and Robak have played with us since last year. So they have been with the team for longer. Justice Justice only joined us about 2 days before the tournament started, so he's only getting a feel for the everybody on the team. He's a clever player. He should understand what everyone brings to the table, and hopefully that will give us enough to win our next two games.
Now, Grace, you the City Oilers have been the local champions, the champions of the local league in Uganda for the last 8 years. First of all, that's an amazing feat for any team to be that dominant for any local league. Now, some people are saying that if you had just left in the players that have been winning these games for you in Kampala, that probably you would have done better in Cairo. What do you say to that?
So it's not that they're not being let in. It's just that, number one, like I said, we played our first game was against the who is projected to be the eventual champion in Angola. The second game was Al Ahly, who is at home and projected to finish second or third in this tournament. Our best player, who is supposed to average 40, tore something in his shooting hand opening night. So we've been on the back foot for the whole time. And when you're doing that, what happens is that you don't go according to the game plan. So, yes, we haven't gone very deep into the bench, but for a tournament like this one, most coaches won't. But you should see a difference in the two games now that we understand each other better.
Yeah, no, that's fair. As we've mentioned, you know, you guys kind of started off with a very difficult schedule playing the top two teams in the conference. But with still two games left, anything is open. Do you guys have a different strategy going into the next two games? As you've mentioned, your leading scorer is battling a tendon injury.
Yes, we as you can imagine, it's a game of adjustments. We've made the adjustments like the other teams have made whilst playing against us. The boys are upset, of course, that they lost the game that they did the other day as badly as they did to a team from Guinea who shouldn't have had as good a run as they did. But at this level, it's anyone's day, and we think that we've made the adjustments necessary for us to win the two games we need to win to make it to the final eight.
Now, if you're not able to make it to the playoffs, just in case you're not able to make up for the playoffs, what are some of the lessons so far for you as a team that you'll be taking back, you know, preparing for the next season?
Time. We have to spend more time together as a unit before we get here. And that's something that we have to synchronize with the NBA expects us in the tournament country 5 days to the tournament. We have to work out a way to do that with the team even earlier and get us working out together before the tournament starts.
I'm Sonny Young. This is Nothing But Net, a special Voice of America Basketball Africa League podcast. I'm joined by Mukbil Yabaro and Jackson Vunganyi. We're talking with Grace Kwizera, the team manager for Uganda's City Oilers Basketball Club. Grace is joining us from Cairo, Egypt. Grace, this is the second year in a row the BAL has kind of had this caravan format where the games start out in Senegal, currently in Egypt, and then they'll wrap up with the BAL playoffs and final in Rwanda. Do you see the league maybe expanding to new African countries in the next few years?
For sure, because that's the product right there. Remember that Africa is going to have 1.5 billion people in by 2025, and half of them will be 20 years or so. The market is only going to grow, so I expect that the league will probably expand to maybe, because we are in the BAL now is for 12 teams. I see us growing to maybe 16 in the next 5 years.
Yeah, Grace, just to piggyback off that question, we see the Basketball Africa League having that Elevate program in collaboration with the NBA Africa Academy. You all have a player by the name of Obey Sigun Ezekiel. What are your thoughts on his play and just the play of the younger Elevate players in this tournament in general?
Oh, he's great. It's like we goes by Easy when he's with us. Mm-hmm. He's a good kid. He's from Nigeria originally. He's big. He's a guard. He's a guard, but he's almost the size of. He's bigger than some of the power forwards that we come with from Uganda. So I like the program. I like what it means for us to have kids with that skill set, and you can see his skill set and what he's being trained from the way he works out with us. His only knock is probably the immaturity, but you can expect that from somebody who is 18.
Right.
And we look forward to using him. And we have a plan for him in this one, and whichever Elevate player we get in the next BAF.
We are still with Grace Muguri Kwizera, the manager for the City Oilers of Uganda. Now, Grace, again, you started off with two of the strongest teams in the BAL, the City Oilers refusing to embrace the underdog status. I want to take you back again to one of my original questions about your players, the players that keep winning these tournaments for you in Kampala, Uganda. If you're to gauge their skill level comparative to what you see right now in the BAL, where do they fall?
I would say from the four players that we pick up from outside of Uganda, they average 20 points. The players coming in from Kampala, we have about four of them who average 10. So double the efficiency right there. As far as the point guards go, which is our strength in Uganda, they're pretty matched in as far as getting the team going and facilitating. But as far as scorers go, you have a lot more coming from the players that are not from Uganda, which is why you add them to the teams.
Yeah, Grace, just to follow up on that question, could the argument be made that if the system for the BAL didn't have the imports and your specific players were getting more touches, maybe they perform better, but if you're option two, option three, your production is going to be not as good when you don't have the ball as much, though, right?
No, I don't think so, because what they say, iron sharpens iron, and having high-quality players elevates the quality of the game. What needs to happen, though, is we need to play with them for longer before we come into the tournament, and then you have the perfect product. And if the BAL asks me for feedback, that's what I'd give them. Rather than have 5 days to the start of the tournament, give us the 10 days, because all sorts of things come into play, like insurance and how you travel to the country that the tournament is going to be run. It's not up to us. If it was, then we would go to the places much earlier, have these camps with these players, and then we are ready tournament time. So the things that you see in the game that are not going the way we want them to go are growth pains from a group that's just getting together.
Grace, before the Nile Conference games tipped off, we did a series of team profiles, and when it came to the Oilers, it really sounded like you have a passionate fan base. Kind of a two-part question. Have any of your local fans from Kampala traveled to Cairo? And what's been the general atmosphere at the arena in Egypt?
So, yes, we have we have six fans that traveled with us. We don't exactly have the means to get a plane load here. The crowd in the stadium is they're Egyptian, so they're quite loud. It's not as loud as it could have been, but apparently there was crowd trouble in one of these other tournaments held in Egypt. So because of that, many of the fans are staying away. But otherwise, it's an amazing stadium, and even the few that are making it in there are really bringing the noise.
Yeah. That is Grace Muguri Kwizera. Grace, before we let you go, final question. I know your mind is on the BAL in Cairo. Your team is playing, but I know you're also watching the NBA finals. Sorry, the playoffs here in the US. I know you very well to know that you're watching at night. Where is your mind? Who do you think has got it this year?
Well, you have to worry about those Denver Nuggets. I think they are. I think they're a dark horse that no one's thinking about.
Yeah.
I mean, Golden State is a conversation you can never shut down. So I think the conversation is between those.
That's Grace Kwizera, the team manager of Uganda's City Oilers Basketball Club. And Grace spoke from Cairo, Egypt, with me, Mukbil Yabaro, and Action Jackson Vunganyi during our latest Nothing But Net VOA Basketball Africa League podcast. How would you rate the basketball being played in Cairo? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3, Colonel Sam Amadou, retired.
Conference of the Basketball African League has lived up to expectations. The teams have proved to be evenly matched, and it has been good action all the way. The teams are all battling for qualification to the final round, and well, the fireworks will continue. Petro looks good to qualify, and Ali also looks good to qualify. The other two slots are going to be keenly contested by the Girona team. But for now, Anali and Petro are in pole position.
The Men's Basketball Africa League playoffs is scheduled for Kigali, Rwanda. For already, four teams from the Sahara Conference have qualified. From the games you watched so far of the Nile Conference, do you think that the finals will be a clash of the titans or a clash of the heavyweights in Kigali?
Definitely. Every team that is taking part in this competition at this level has the wherewithal to go all the way. You will recollect that the defending champions last year did not even make it to the conference playoffs. So it's going to be very, very tough. With the Basketball Africa League, it's not over until it's over, and everybody has a chance to win it all. Petro have an advantage. Why? Because they have a very strong league. Most of their players play in the local league. They are well organized, well structured, well coached, and the bulk of those players are their national team players. That is the advantage that they do have. Alali too has a strong league. And for your team to really do well in the Basketball Africa League, you must have a very strong local league. Even though you will get some foreign players, but how many foreign players can you get if your league is not strong?
You're the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. Are there teams from your zone that have qualified or are taking part in the ongoing Nile Conference games? Or let's start with the Sahara Conference game. Are there teams from the FIBA Africa Zone 3 that qualified? And do you have any team in the Nile Conference?
FIBA Africa Zone 3, geographically, we are based in the Sahara Conference. So we don't have any team in the Nile. But in this Sahara Conference, yes, ABC of Abidjan, that is, ABC is Abidjan Basketball Club, played in the Sahara Conference, and they have qualified for the final rounds. And I can assure you that ABC will represent the zone very, very well. We had two teams in the qualifiers for the road to Bar. We had ABC, then we also had Elan of Benin. But ABC went on to the conference playoffs from where they've qualified for the final rounds. We expect them to do very, very well.
That's Colonel Sam Amaidu, retired, and Colonel Sam spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Kano, Nigeria.
This is Colonel Sam Amaidu, retired, President FIBA Africa Zone 3. You are once more listening to Sunnyside of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you very much and have a good day.
Thank you very much, Colonel Sam, and I hope you, Iron Mike Mbonye, and all our Sunnyside of Sports listeners are having a good day and will have a good weekend ahead. Samson O'Malley joins us once again with another extra spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Friday greetings, Samson!
Sporty Friday greetings to you too, Sunny. We begin the wrap of Africa sports highlights in Zambia, where the Confederation of Africa Athletics Africa Under 18 and Under 20 championships have been concluded. South African national youth and junior teams wrapped up their dominant showing when they added 14 medals to their tally, including 7 gold, on the 5th and final day of the competition. They completed their campaign with a total of 66 medals, 33 gold, 19 silver, and 14 bronze medals, earning more podium places than any other country at the continental showpiece. James Moloi, president of the Athletics South Africa, was excited over the performance of the young athletes.
This makes us proud. They did very well. Overall, they did very well. We managed to get plus minus 33 gold medals. So our overall, we are number one in the position, number one, and number two, I think it's Nigeria, but we get the position. But from our side, we're very excited with the performance.
Staying with athletics, Botswana's 2012 Olympic 800-meter silver medalist Nigel Amos has been banned from athletics for 3 years after testing positive for a prohibited substance. The 29-year-old tested positive for metabolites during an out-of-competition urine test in June 2022 and was provisionally suspended a month later. The 3-year ban rules Amos out of competition until July 2025, meaning the Botswanan will miss the 2024 Paris Olympics. In Uganda, the Ugandan Olympic Committee and Cuba Olympic Committee has signed a Memorandum of Understanding. The Memorandum of Understanding has areas of possible cooperation in the field of sports as both countries agreed upon the importance to develop actions that can contribute to the best performance of sports in the two nations. Tonia Perez is a Cuban ambassador to Uganda.
The most important is our decision, our will, our commitment in order to provide our experience, our technical assistance, our medicine, sport, and everything that Uganda decide that Cuba could provide in order to improve the performance of the sport in the Republic of Uganda.
Ugandan Olympic Committee President Donna Rukari says such partnerships can improve sports development in Uganda.
We have a long history between Uganda and Cuba. We'll be celebrating 50 years of Cuban bilateral relationships in Uganda. But in the area of sport, we are looking at, through this MOU that we have signed today, working in areas of technical assistance, probably look at things like sports like boxing, athletics, maybe basketball. So areas where we can have mutual cooperation, where we have exchange of technical competences and assistance between the two countries. Maybe Cuban athletes can come and run in Terriet at our high performance center.
And now to squash, where the Lagos State International Squash Classics will serve off on May 9th to the 13th at the squash court at the Teslim Balogun Stadium, Sululeri, in Lagos. The squash tournament, backed by Professional Squash Players Association, is expected to attract players across the world from France, Germany, Hong Kong, England, as well as host country Nigeria. The International Classics has a total prize money of $18,000. The winner in the male category category will go home with $12,000, while the champions in the female category will earn $6,000 alongside ranking points. Staying in Nigeria, Commonwealth Discus Games champion Chioma Onyekwere broke a 16-year-old African record at the Oklahoma Throw Series last month to win the women's discus throw with a dynamic swing of 64.96 meters, a huge boost from the 60.79 meters she threw at her previous outing. Onyekwere becomes the first Nigerian field athlete to attain world championship standards in the 2023 outdoor season. The discus thrower is already looking forward to her participation at the World Championship in Budapest with her status as the African champion.
Breaking the area record, breaking the African record for discus has been one of my long-time goals that I've had for my career. I'm excited that I could break it so early in my career and also early in this season. So I'm hoping to produce and increase my mark more and more as the season progresses, especially in World's Championships this year, which is going to be in Budapest in August.
In basketball news, Philadelphia 76ers center and league scoring champion Joel Embiid earned his first National Basketball Association Most Valuable Player trophy earlier this week, topping two-time winner Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets. The 29-year-old from Yaounde, Cameroon, averaged 33.1 points to win his second straight scoring title, averaged 10.2 rebounds, and tied a career high with 4.2 assists per game. Embiid played in 66 games, the second highest total of his career, but again has been hit with series of injuries in the playoffs. The Cameroonian has been speaking after being awarded the 2022-2023 NBA Most Valuable Player Award.
Feels good, obviously. That's something that I dreamed of and I've always wanted, especially when I started, playing basketball. That was always the goal. And, obviously there's other goals and stuff, but, this is just one step to whatever I want to accomplish, which is, to win championships. And, we're right there, so he felt pretty good.
And now to table tennis. The International Table Tennis Federation Africa Cup got underway on Thursday in Nairobi, Kenya, at the International Sports Center, Nairobi. Favorites Aruna Quadri of Nigeria and Omar Asar of Egypt floored their respective opponents 3-love to start their campaign on a bright note. Both players have clashed in the finals in the last 6 editions, and without gainsaying, the table tennis world would give anything for another scintillating duel involving the two in Nairobi. At least 29 male players and 23 female players are said to have registered for this year's event. Both the men's and women's singles winner of the competition that ends on Saturday will receive $5,000. And now to cricket. The national women's cricket team of Namibia continued their brilliant run at the women's quadrangular series with an 8-runs win against Uganda to remain unbeaten. The Capricorn Eagles bowlers suffered the Ugandan batters and bowled them out for 88 runs to win by 8 runs and, more importantly, kept their 100% record in the quadrangular series. Both teams will be in action on Sunday again, with Uganda taking on Hong Kong as the Capricorn Eagles will face the UAE. The coach of the Namibian Capricorn Eagles, Francois van der Meer, said the victory over Uganda was a roller coaster, while the coach of Uganda, Lawrence Sematimba, was gracious in defeat.
We're very happy to win close games like that. And it's we're building confidence with every single game. So the girls is becoming a very strong unit. And again, very happy for the ladies.
A game against Namibia. The girls, they batted well, but they lacked a bit in, after 10 overs, they put their shoulders down. So these guys, I thought Namibia, they'll score like 70 all out, and they managed to score 94. And we came back to bat, and we lost early wickets, and that's how we lost the game.
In women football news, Banyana coach Destry Ellis says she will use whatever opportunity she gets to prepare her team for the upcoming 2023 Women's FIFA World Cup to be co-hosted by Australia and New Zealand in July. 27 locally based Banyana players are currently in camp in Johannesburg. Coach Ellis has thanked the local league teams that agreed to release the players outside the FIFA international dates.
It's been really good. The local camp is always working on, you know, understanding our defensive structure, our offensive structure, and getting better, because we want to make sure that when the overseas-based players come in, that, you know, we're almost on the same level, because their season is almost done, whereas locally the season started in February.
That's Desiree Ellis, the head coach of South Africa's Women's World Cup-bound football team. And thanks to Samson Omale for that spicy sports package. And that wraps up the May 5th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. Have a nice weekend. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.